It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to the prediction show with me, Stephanie Chase. And today I'm predicting AEW Full Gear with Beto in person. Beto from Grapple and the newly launched Beto and Hamlet in Your House podcast. Beto, how are you?
Appreciate the congratulatory obligated plugs there. Yeah, good to be here. If I wasn't on the podcast, I'd be sat on the bed and that'd just be a bit awkward. So Glad to be a guest.
Well, we are in New Jersey because we are attending Full Gear tomorrow. Yep. How excited are you, Beto?
Sunny New Jersey. Always good to be back. We were here 2 years ago for Full Gear 2 years ago. Feels like a different planet when MJF won the title last time. We were actually in a hotel yesterday, weren't we? In New York itself. Mm-hmm. And they had on the TVs like Spectrum Cable. And I went through the on-demand to see if I could find anything AEW, and they actually had AEW All Access for Full Gear. And I was like, that's weird. That feels wrong. I'm going to play it instead. And it was the one from 2 years ago. And let me tell you, the world has changed.
It's a different promotion. The world has changed. It was so funny. Most of this episode centered around one, Sammy Guevara saying he was going to have a match to remember. It took us about 20 minutes to work out what match Sammy Guevara.
It is where it's a match that everyone would remember in 10 years.
A match that everyone would remember in 10 years. Later.
We were there.
We were there. So it ended up being Sammy, Jericho, Brian, and Claudio.
Yep.
And then Sammy multiple times was like, I hope nothing goes wrong with these legends. Accident happened. It was just so bizarre.
The best part was most of the show was built around one, the horrendous Stamford Dynamite we went to, and that was 2 years ago because it wasn't Stamford this year, and we didn't bother making the trip this year. We got to take it to the HQ, so that was fun. And a lot of backstage stuff with the Young Bucks talking about some mysterious incident that had happened that might be a blotch on their memories, but they at no point went into detail. And we were saying, like, imagine what, because that show aired on TBS, if I'm wrong,
TNT.
Like, if you're watching that and you don't watch Dynamite, you are, or follow the news, you had no idea what they were talking about. So that was fun, too. I've never seen that footage.
It's so weird, because when you think of, like, Why Do Wrestling reality show, everyone's going to say, because Total Divas was so successful and they brought people in. But, like, that focused on their lives outside of wrestling that they were able to explain. This show is people just not explaining what they were, like, worried about, what was going on or anything. Just, it was so bizarre. But, it feels very different from Full Gear 2 years ago, other than the fact that we're back here in New Jersey.
We came back for it.
We did come back for it. It was my birthday on Wednesday. So a trip to New York for my birthday was pretty nice. We did not go to Dynamite on Wednesday because I think after that show, that would have been a pretty unhappy birthday for me, to be honest, to be in, where was it, Reading, Pennsylvania, to see that. So I'm glad we didn't do that. We got to have fun in New York instead, got to have beer and hot dogs and all that great stuff. So
did some Sopranos stuff today. That
was yeah, fun. We went to where the final scene in Sopranos was filmed today. Mm-hmm. We're just back from there. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. We really wanted to do it. We got the booth. We got the actual booth.
Yeah, there's a nice little plaque there that's dedicated to Tony Soprano. So that mm-hmm. was fun. And yeah, I guess we've got to go to a wrestling show. That's it, the only unfortunate. No, it's funny because like 2 years ago, that was like maybe my second trip to come out to watch AEW live on pay-per-view. And that was the reason I did the trip. This year, it's a fun little thing to do on the side. That's pretty much it, really.
For sure. Well, we're going to get into this card, and I want you guys watching to give me your predictions for the show. Mm. And we'll give our predictions, talk a little bit about how we feel about each match. Looking at Wikipedia here, we've got 10 matches on the card, including the pre-show, which is like really short for Tony Khan. What's wrong? Has he lost his pencil?
I don't know.
But
we'll see what gets added to that pre-show. I actually can't wait for the pre-show, to be honest. I'm going to be in my seat. I'm going to be excited.
He's a big Costco Guys fan.
Yeah, who isn't?
Okay. First, though, let us hear from our sponsors, Bet Online, courtesy of our overlord, Shama Sapp.
For years, you've seen BetOnline AG's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25-plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline AG. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline AG.
BetOnline AG, thank you very much. And if you're wondering who to bet for, we're going to try and give you some tips. Well, our predictions. Don't blame us if it goes wrong. Let's get into it. Hey, I usually don't really go into the pre-show matches, but this is a big one. This is a pre-show match that was promoted on Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. Never had that before.
Jimmy Fallon.
Done that a few times. I do that every time. Mm-hmm. I'm not American. Okay.
I try and be.
So, Big Boom AJ with Big Justice. And
did you know that Big Boom AJ is the adult, by the way, not the child?
I found that out yesterday, uh-huh. That Big Boom AJ is the adult. Versus QT Marshall, the Rizzler will serve as special guest timekeeper. Benno, I want to know who you think is going to win. I want a star rating prediction. All of that. Go Costco, guys.
Honestly, I think it's going to be one of the best. It's one of the best promoted shows on the show, matches on the show. And I think that's because AJ and Big Justice
promotional
machines.
Tony Khan, a promoter, said he learned a lot. Promoting from the Costco guys.
That should probably, you know, we should probably ask some questions about that. And it's funny, I'm not like blind to it. I think a lot of the there's going to be positives about this show we're going to talk about. It's going to be an AEW pay-per-view. They're always good. Mm-hmm. But the negative is going to be some of the build to these matches and some of the sports entertainment elements that have seeped into Dynamite once again. And this is the most sports entertainment thing you can do. But I think it's being done well, and it's kind of like the least offensive thing on the show for me. I accept it is what it is. It's gotten them loads of publicity. Did you see that Twitter video yesterday that did it was up to like 10 million views or something like that yesterday? So there's genuine publicity coming out of this. QT Marshall is the perfect foil for a match like this. He'll bump around, he'll stooge, he'll get beat, AJ will go over, and it'll just be a laugh. And maybe the fans might turn out a little bit. That's my only worry. But outside of that, like, it's inoffensive. Yeah. It's fine. It's pre-show fodder. I've got no issue with it.
I think it's inoffensive. I think that the guys have done a great job of getting eyes on it.
Yeah.
Not sure they're going to convert a single person into being an AEW fan. You know, I think people just like the Costco guys and watching videos.
They might watch the pre-show.
They might watch the pre-show.
Probably not going to be.
Which so far only has one match. So, you know. Though I think I did hear that Sean say that Anna Jay versus, is it Penelope, might be added to the pre-show?
Right.
So we could get another match there. But who's going to win? I think the Costco guys, Big Boom AJ is going to take this.
How many booms is the real question? How many? The grapple app's gone now, so we can't do star ratings. We've got to do booms. Boom. Yeah, just clearly AJ goes over.
And he is a wrestler. He was a wrestler. So
when Punk, exactly, that's the other thing. Like, the wrestler in him has been coming out and cutting these promos. He tells you where the show is, what the date is, how you get your tickets. He was doing it on Fallon. Like, yeah, a genuine professional wrestler. But yeah, QT Marshall was saying this week, wasn't he, when Punk was causing trouble, saying wasting matches in AEW, and QT saying Punk like working with me because I knew my job, I knew to be a heel. He'll know his job here, and that's what it is.
I think AJ, three booms. I'm hoping that AJ gives a seminar backstage in AEW about how to promote to all the wrestlers, how to actually promote shows. I think that would be a good use of him. But yeah, I find him inoffensive. I find him less offensive than Paul Walterhausen, to be honest.
You're going to say Paul White, because yeah.
He's also less offensive than Paul White. Okay, so let's move on to MJF versus Roderick
Strong. This offends me more.
I find the build-up to this has been offensive, to be honest. I think
you don't like watching MJF in his fucking lair? What's he doing?
I think that maybe we can all like argue about when certain feelings for AEW were lost, but MJF and Adam Cole was a big breaking point for a lot of fans. So why not run it back a year later? Why not run this back?
We're not even running it back. It's not over. No. Like, we're doing Roderick Strong. Maybe like the thought process has been, because we've been a bit disconnected while we've been on this trip, that I don't know. They're expecting the fans in the Northeast to go with MJF, and it would make things worse if Adam Cole gets booed out the building, which he will if he appears.
He's going to do a run and get booed out of the building.
But just get the fucking match over with. Nobody wants it. Like, it's confusing. The story makes no sense. The segments with MJF have been terrible.
Awful. I keep saying, if this guy can't turn up to work, don't show him, because it's laughable.
Benefit nobody, none of this. And like, I just get it. Honestly, I would have done a casino battle royal. They come face to face in it, they have a little brawl, and that was your payoff.
Yeah.
I would have just done that. We didn't need all this. And the fact that it's going to carry on, because that fucking Mark needs to do a world's end. Like, we got to end it at world's end. We've got to end it where it all began. Fuck off. It sucks. It's awful.
Maxwell Jacob
Roddy Hogan. Strong can't even save it. Like,
Maxwell Jacob Hogan, he will get his way always. I think MJF's going to win. I think that Adam Cole's going to run out. He's going to get booed. I think this stuff must continue. I think the build has been really bad. I don't think that Cole's performed well for his part in it at all. I thought that match he had with Malakai Black was a joke.
You see the picture of him with Big Boom AJ and Big Justice. Who was the wrestler in that? Not the one who looked yellow.
Yeah. It's been really, really bad, and it's very annoying that it must continue. But it is.
I don't expect a bad match. I just expect I expect the crowd to be
Roderick Strong is a fantastic wrestler, but for some reason he's doing a terrible sports entertainment stick of saying people's names loud when he's actually a really, really good wrestler. MJF always wants to prove he's a good wrestler, so he's at least and he is, but you know, he's at least going to try. But
oh, he tries. He tries very hard. That's a problem.
He will try.
You see him bring up Roddy Strong's dad situation and the shooting and all that, like, for this feud, really?
I know, that's the thing, like, something like that should be saved, you know, like, but no, like, let's just bring it up for this, and then Roddy, who's not even doing a serious character, like, it's just a mess. So
prediction, though?
MJF.
Yeah. MJF. I mean, it's got to be. Roddy Strong's just a bump in the road to get to the Adam Cole match. Don't see any other outcome.
Which the matchup, for some reason, Adam Cole can't just do on this pay-per-view. But anyway, Okay, next is a match I'm really excited about. It's Jay White versus Hangman Adam Cole.
Living the gimmick.
This is their second singles match after the one at the last pay-per-view, which WrestleDream was the last pay-per-view, right? They've got so many now. I loved their last match. I thought it was fantastic. When it became apparent they were keeping the feud going, I was actually expecting more from the build-up, right? We had a really good promo from Hangman Page. We've had some good stuff, but I don't think they gave the two of them enough. And I think that like Jay needs that to showcase himself as a promo and as a character. So I'm disappointed in that. I will say I want it more. I wanted them to just be given more time. Imagine if they got the time that this fucking MJF thing has gotten, you know. But I think it's going to be a really good match. Hangman, he's only ever beat Jay once. So can he do it again? I don't think so. I think they're going to shock us and have Jay White win.
I know you love Jay White, but this stinks. Come on. Like, these are two of the best wrestlers in AEW as well. Hangman Page should be a main character in AEW. It should be him. It should be Swerve. It should be Ospreay. It should even be MJF. They should be the actual four pillars you build your shows around. Mm-hmm. But if there's any program that just sums up the mess that AEW Creative is right now, you've got Jay White as babyface doing an uphill battle, doing his best to try and get people into his stuff with his promos.
Yes.
Who has the stable behind them and the numbers advantage against Hangman Page, who everybody wants to cheer. Yeah. So it's just a lopsided view from the start. And the last match was very, very good. And I expect this as a match to be very, very good as well. But like, yeah, Jay White's best push outside of the MJF match for him has been this as a babyface. But it just shows for me in black and white, really, like how bad the push was as a heel for him. He should be in an upper mid-card slot as a heel in AEW. Instead, he's been miscast now as a babyface after living most of his AEW career as a mid-card comedy heel. Doing this. And it's unfair. It's an uphill battle for Jay White. People call him for him to be the next AEW world champion. It's like, not in this role.
Yeah, it's we just passed the 1 year anniversary of the worst booked match in modern history, Jay White versus MJF, where MJF, what happened to him? He got like both his legs and his arms cut off. He got mauled by dogs. He got ran over and he still beat Jay White. wow, what a match that was. So I think things have been hard for him since then. And you are right that he's miscast. I'm always going to think he's a better heel.
Yeah.
It is funny. He's got a full on entourage and everything. And Hangman is someone that people love so much that we'll play along with whatever he says. So if he's saying, please boo me, guys, because I'm a bad guy, we'll do it.
But and you can have those two inner characters. Mm-hmm. And I get that gives more depth to the Hangman character, especially coming off the Swerve stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just a dangerous game when you're in there with an unproven babyface and Jay White. I think the crowd are going to go for Hangman in this one. But I do expect the work to be good. And I think Hangman wins. That's how I book it. I just think there's more money in Hangman as a top line act than Jay White in this current iteration, as much as I rate Jay White. I spend enough time with you to rate Jay White.
Yeah.
I can't have any other opinion.
Hangman wins, I think they will do a third match because I think that Hangman... Yeah,
because they've got lots of pay-per-views to fill.
Well, yeah, they've got a lot of pay-per-views to fill and what else people want to do. But no, I think that because Hangman achieving that should not be the end of the feud because he's a heel and because things make him more unhinged. So I would, if you're right, they'll go another match. If not, I think Jay White will win. Oh, moving on to the AEW tag division, where our new defending champions, Private Party, will take on the Outrunners, the Kings of the Black Throne, the Acclaimed. It's a four-way match for the tag team championship. A Private Party dropping these already?
The prestigious AEW tag team titles.
Yes.
Who cares?
From the booking,
I think Private Party, it's funny because like people who criticize AEW, ourselves included, would say you need to start, you know, in this down era, pushing new acts and getting people over. Mm-hmm. Private Party are one where for me, they were so damaged, I don't think I'd have tried.
Yeah.
But they did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And the win over the Bucks seemed to work. The follow-up hasn't been great because the follow-up has been focusing on building the other teams for this match when we probably needed more focus on Private Party coming in. If you are going to do, you know, go down that path there, I probably wouldn't myself. So, yeah, it's going to be a big test for them to see how over they are in here. And, yeah, they're going to have to carry it, really. Have you got a feeling on it when it goes over? Presumably Private Party.
I think it has to be Private Party. Or why did we go through this whole... Not just them, their story with the Young Bucks, but their story before that of being taken out by Moxley and his crew, like to give them a
really
short
about 2 weeks before the Young Bucks.
But no one remembers that, you know.
I mean, it could be to give Tommy Bellend the big win, you know. I'm sorry, I had to get that in. Like he's like, or he's gonna have a big loss where he stabs himself with a sword and goes out and does like a prayer, call to prayer, you know, prays to his to his king and his god, Paul.
Yeah, guys, if Malakai Black waves to you at the end of the match, don't lean into it.
All the slow motion wind comes through as he loses. Can't just lose a match. Yeah, but that said, yeah, they might. A few people in the chat are saying they might go over.
Brody King gets knocked down. Malakai Black, he takes some poison like he's Juliet.
Yeah.
And that's, they lose.
Nice romantic end.
No, I just feel like what you were saying with, in this period, we should be building up new people totally. Yeah. And Private Party, to me, as good as they are, didn't count as that, because Private Party's whole root story to the title was, we've been here 5 years and done fuck all. Now we're going to
everyone in the company's been here 5 years. Yeah, the majority.
That's what they. There needs to be a ban on saying you've been in AEW for 5 years. Mm. Like, on just please stop saying that. Mm. Unless you've been on top for 5 years, but I'm gonna say Private Party retain. But it is interesting. So many people in the chat want it to be House of Black, or think it's going to be House of Black. Fernando and Maria saying Julia. Because we've been seeing the vignettes for Julia Hart.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's going to factor in. The only reason I don't think she is because I think that she is going to do something with the women's title. I think they're actually going to
do her own thing.
Yeah, do her own thing, because I think the videos are kind of pointing to maybe some her being kind of conflicted about her life in the House of Black and her cheerleader past. So I'm going to do like what I think is a safe bet and say Private Party.
Chat's convinced me. I'll go House of Black for the chat.
Okay, for the chat, House of Black.
It's Kings of the Black Throne.
So. Kings of the Black Throne. I mean, if they don't win, can we speculate that Malakai Black's leaving again?
You'd love that, wouldn't you? He'll go on Instagram and tell us that all the dirty, dirt cheats are lying, but not tell us the truth, such as the joy of Malakai Black. Anyway.
All right, we have the AEW TBS Championship next. It's Mercedes Moné with Camille. Maybe for the last time, versus Chris Statlander. Another one where I've got real problems with the build. Something I didn't have a problem at all with was how awesome Chris Statlander was during the feud with Willow, and especially the ending of it. Then we had a random face turn. She was a born-again Christian. And I think that the writing around Mercedes has been horrible. I think it's been real bad. Vince level WWE garbage. We've seen near vehicular manslaughter.
Walls.
We've seen going through a fake wall. It's just it's been written so badly. And this happens to the women a lot, but this has just been painful to watch. And I don't think Mercedes has delivered in AEW. I think that there's obviously something going on between her and Camille, because this turn seems so fast. Like, they've barely been together, and now she's like turning around calling Camille a dummy and whatever, and it's just pretty wild. And they never fit to me either, because I just felt that Mercedes was never willing to be like, to let Camille,
she wouldn't stop wearing
herself.
Heels.
Yeah,
I guess a starting point.
I don't think that Mercedes was secure enough to have Camille with her, and it was just a mistake.
This is another one where, like, if we're being harsh on the show, I've got some positives to say in a minute about the next match, but like, it's not really to do with the talent, because Chris Statlander is fucking awesome.
Awesome.
The stuff she was doing with Stokely was getting over. It was the best Stokely had looked in the company as well. Mm-hmm. And they just randomly turned her to do this. And that was bad enough. But if they did that with a good plan and a great story here that they just needed to tell, they needed her to be a babyface to be able to tell this great story to Mercedes. But it hasn't been that either.
No.
They threw away an act that was getting over for this.
There is no great story here.
It's a real shame. She deserves better. Chris Statlander was great.
I'm going to say something really harsh here that could get me in trouble. This story is like Jennifer Pepperman has found pieces of paper in her trash bin, like rejected WWE ideas, and is putting them on Dynamite. This story has been so bad, and the angles have been so bad. And I think it's really unfair on Chris because of the work that she did with Willow, and like, her and Willow told an actual story. They were friends for a really long time, and then they turned and they had that amazing match. And just like, you're right, like, if you were going to do this to Chris, there should have been like a great story that we could only tell with her and Mercedes. But there wasn't. they just needed someone that was willing to be Mercedes' challenger. And it's not right. And will it be a good match? I'm not sure, because I personally don't think you can rely on Mercedes anymore to have a good match. She just hasn't found it in AEW yet.
You rely on her to have a good match. She just hasn't had any great matches.
No, she has not had a great, I think.
Which is a surprise.
Chris is good enough for her not to have a bad match. But it's not guaranteed great. Okay, any chance she loses, like, you know, with Camille and the stuff that's going on, any chance?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't see it. I just assume a Mercedes win. Chris goes back to whatever she was doing. And yeah, we get Mercedes Camille as like a side feud that ends on Collision, and let's throw some weapons in. That's what we do.
I don't know. Part of me thinks, like, what if they are going to take the title off her? She has a breakup with Camille, and then they put the AEW Women's Championship on her, you know? Because you have that out with Camille.
Maybe.
Like, could do something. I don't think AEW is ready to make a brave choice yet. So I am going to say that Mercedes Moné retains.
Agreed.
Chris falls back down the card, unfortunately, and we get a very bad Mercedes Camille feud, because I'm sure the writing on that is going to be pretty dire.
So good, short and sweet.
Probably okay. Sweet. You said that you were enthused for the next match.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to let you go with it. It's Swerve Strickland versus Bobby Lashley.
It's funny where it runs sullied by Swerve's comments about, was it Stamford, Connecticut, that he said in that promo? Because we watched that Dynamite in a sports bar with no sound. So one, we had no idea that crowd sucked. And two, we had no idea he said that.
Yeah.
So outside of that, I think the bill for this has been very, very good. I would have done more to advertise Bobby Lashley on Dynamite this week. Outside of that, like, it feel, I always say this about Swerve, it always feels like he has like a control over everything that's happening within his orbit. Like, he's particular about what the promos look like, what the matches look like, what we're doing week 2, 3, and 4 out of the pay-per-view. Like, it all feels meticulously planned. And for me, the Hair Syndicate have been the shining best thing in AEW in the last while. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm not necessarily a Shelton Benjamin fan. I have liked Lashley. I've been hot and cold on him over the years. And MVP, you know, has been fantastic on the mic as well. That's probably consistent for him through his career. But they've been a real breath of fresh air. And they're an act where, again, on paper, you might go WWE act coming into AEW. But I think it's worked really well. It's a better angle for me than what they're doing with Moxley and his goons. And yeah, it's been really well put together to the point where I actually can't tell you who's going to win out of Swerve and Lashley. I think Swerve needs a win.
Show.
I know. I'm not sure. Like, that's good, though. That's good.
Yeah.
That Bobby Lashley's coming in. Presumably, he should win. But, you know, Swerve's had a few losses recently. I guess that means a probable Swerve loss, but it's not guaranteed either. I think, everyone looks stronger. It's really good. And it's feeling like a fun little territory run for Bobby Lashley where, you know, maybe in a short-lived AEW run, we've got something really special here.
I think you're right about Swerve taking care with his stuff. He has he has creative control in a good way.
Yeah.
Whereas other people have it in a bad way. He has it in a good way. He seems to, things are really important to him. That's why I think he's going to lose.
Yeah.
I think they've put all this into building up Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Syndicate. And it is not going to be that Swerve just beats him when they get to a pay-per-view. I think that Bobby Lashley is really going to destroy him, and we're going to keep this going because it is, to me, the best thing happening in the company right now. And I do think it's the thing that the fans are most engaged in more than the Moxie stuff. And we don't even know, like, MVP hasn't recruited everyone he wants to recruit yet. It feels like, you know, he's still been handing out the cards. No one's taken him up on the offer, but the offer is there.
Maybe that'll be paid off.
I was going to say, there's a couple of people on this card that have been given cards by MVP, so you never know. Especially if they put this on later on the night, who might have done what. But yeah, I've really enjoyed the feud as well. There's obviously something to be said for the fact that they are a group of ex-WWE guys and older ex-WWE guys too. But you can't deny that it's been really good and just well booked, well performed by everyone. And MVP's great.
Yeah, and I think thinking about that, they'll have another 3 months worth of this plan. Mm-hmm. So that says Lashley win, some kind of story shenanigans, and there'll be another match, and then there'll be a rubber match at some point between them.
Maybe Swerve will get some friends.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, he might.
Could do that.
But yeah, so I'm going to predict Bobby Lashley.
Me too, yeah.
Bobby Lashley to win. Up next, the TNT Championship, Jack Perry versus Daniel Garcia. I also don't think this has been well built. More car angles.
Do you know how inconvenient it is when somebody like smashes, what do they call it, taillight? Smashes your taillight.
It's terrible. I think
it's half a day off work, not getting that sorted. Well, happens a lot in Liverpool.
Well, now I'm thinking about Jack Perry taking vacation time. I'm not going to that. But I think Danny is going to win this. I don't think this has been a good feud either. Danny, you know, recently re-signed with AEW. I wanted him to go try elsewhere. This feud has made me think he made a bad decision, especially when he was, you know, outside Dynamite next to John Silver and his nunchucks. I wasn't a big fan of that. But I think Danny's reward for the loyalty he's shown is going to be taking the TNT Championship. Personally, I do like Jack Perry, and I do think he's been good. And I know that maybe that he's not been for everyone. I think he could have been booked better. Mm-hmm. I think there's stuff these guys could have actually done on TV instead of like they're almost like the like two young guys making just like snide comments at each other all the time rather than actually engaging in a proper wrestling feud. But I think Danny's going to win just solely for the fact that I think that's his reward for resigning. I don't know what happens to Jack Perry after this, especially because the Young Bucks have scarred from everything. And I don't think he's kind of able to hold the Elite title, just him and Okada.
He is the last man standing. Yeah. I mean, it feels like the natural end to Jack Perry's run. It always felt like he got that belt just so there could be a stable that's got four belts. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty much felt like the entire reason. And yeah, it feels like for Daniel Garcia, like I saw upside for him on the WWE side, but we've got to be careful. If he went to NXT, you know, he could be sleeping with the fishes and the sea. It could have been a mafia car they did an angle with.
It could be wrestling Bubba Ray.
It could be in a university. You know, there's not a guarantee that it would have been better. But it feels like he was sold on, stay with us. We'll look after you. We'll actually push you this time.
Yeah.
And like the chat is saying, it had to be got. I feel like this is the first step of that. We're going to put the TNT belt on you and hopefully give you a decent run with it. Like, and there, it feels like it's not been the most straightforward A to B way to get there, or the most really compelling feud, really. Yeah. And he hasn't really felt like a main character in AEW, which I thought they might try and make him coming off the contract negotiations, especially coming off the rub from the MJF feud. Instead, he's been slotted at a very low level.
What MJF feud?
Well, a couple of weeks of nonsense that they did.
Is it that time that MJF killed him and then nothing else happened?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. He never got his revenge, and three other angles happened on top of each other, and Cole came back. Yeah. And we all forgot about it. So yeah, he's been bumped back down again, but if he had a nice solid run with this TNT belt that people actually remember, and he could string the matches together to make that worthwhile, I do think that could be good for him. So yeah, I'm thinking Daniel Garcia will.
Yeah, I think it has to be Danny, or everyone kind of just looks bad. if it's not. Okay, next up we have Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher.
This is tough.
As the former Brit Res podcaster, do you want to?
Former.
He covers the proper stuff now.
Yeah, 1995 in your house. This is an AEW, actually. Yeah.
All right, take it away, Benno. Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher.
Oh, this will be fantastic, obviously. The last match was one of those comedy Meltzer ones that he gave either 5 stars or above 5 stars to that maybe some don't quite remember. But it's going to be off that level again. And Kyle Fletcher, I've been so impressed by in this feud. He's not all there as a promo. He's had a couple of ropey weeks, I would say, and a couple of weeks where he was given a little bit too much leeway. That seems to happen a lot in this company with guys who aren't maybe ready for it, given more time on the mic than not. But that can also help. It can help develop you as a character. And he just feels like, for me, he feels like in the last 4 weeks, he's putting on 2 stone worth of muscle. He's like shaved his head. He's changed everything about his look. He's gigantic compared to Ospreay.
Bigger than Ospreay now.
Yeah, I think he always was. We just didn't really notice. And Kyle Fletcher's someone who I wasn't there for his first match, but I was there pretty close to his first matches back when him and Mark Davis first started teaming over here as at home as Aussie Open, not in New Jersey. So yeah, you know, it's really cool to get to see that story and get to see him go. And he's always had that potential, and I've not always been convinced he was ever going to realize it. This packaging of him right now is just really great stuff and makes it feel like he might actually realize that. And yeah, I could see Ospreay wanting to put him over here.
I think the build has been good, but I think the weakest parts have actually been the Mark Davis parts, just based on them not doing any work to get Aussie Open over when Aussie Open were together. They literally just brought Aussie Open to television and acted as if everyone had your knowledge base of Aussie Open.
They were two blokes.
Yeah.
They were literally like all the first all in, like did that for the stadium, know who they were, even though it was in the UK.
Yeah.
They'd never been established as people.
I said it before
on Grapple, Mark Davis could save you a beer at the concession stand and you wouldn't have known who he was when he first came back. I think now he's had a bit more TV time, people know who he is. But it's like grizzled young veterans, same thing, Gibson and Drake, like the most AEW fans really actually know who these characters are. But clearly Carl's the star.
I was at shows when Aussie Open were together, being like the only one cheering for Aussie Open, and like just them coming out to silence. There was some like tag team gauntlet or casino thing or whatever, where they came out to silence. So that to me is that bit has been kind of hard. Like when Mark first reappeared, it didn't feel like it had the impact it should have, because he just walks out.
And I wouldn't bet against them actually staying together in some form. I think it feels likely Davis there's going to be some kind of turn here, because really, what does Davis do? Yeah. If he's not with Kyle Fletcher, it's kind of like Trent Seven and Tyler Bate. Like, he's just going to be, what, another AEW undercard babyface?
Would you put them as a, given the state of the tag division, just put them as a tag team managed by Don Callis?
I don't even necessarily think that. I think maybe a Shawn and Diesel type thing, where Kyle is the single star. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Davis is his bodyguard, but almost as muscle within the stable. It's not an ideal role for a lot of wrestlers, but is it for a Mark Davis, is it much worse than dying on the violent rampage?
He's significantly older than Kyle.
Been going a lot longer. He did PWG in the mid-2000s. Like, people don't realize how long Mark Davis has been around. Absolutely.
Who's gonna win? I think Kyle's gonna win, because I think Will want him to win.
Yeah,
I think Ospreay's just,
and that's a problem,
like that.
Will should win more matches, but in this scenario, I think it's justifiable.
I think it's needed, and if there is a turn with Mark Fletcher, which I can definitely see coming, then that leads to at least one more match, the feud keeps going. But Kyle Fletcher, he's not fully there, and I guess that's, you know, he's got Don Callis for the time when he isn't.
He's not fully there, but he's not damaged goods. Like so many people in AEW that are currently trying to push are people who've been defined at a certain level in AEW for so long. It's just never going to work.
That's the thing. Kyle can't say I've been there 5 years. Kyle hasn't been there 5 years. Yeah. You know, he did the formula of he lost a lot of matches, but we knew who he was. We knew about the relationship with Will, the Don Callis stuff. You know, he's not some guy there, but I've been here for 5 years. I owe my life to AEW. Like, thank God.
He's not a guaranteed thing, but he's an absolute roll of dice thing. You give it a go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure. Okay, next up, we have Takeshita versus Ricochet. How are you feeling about AEW Ricochet?
It's been about what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fine.
It has been fine.
He's very quickly settled into the role that he kind of not quite was in WWE, but not far away, because that's Ricochet. I was a big booster on doing the Ricochet Ospreay match early in the run, while Ricochet was still feeling fresh in AEW and wasn't too overexposed with matches. I think the Ricochet we've seen on AEW the last while is the Ricochet you're going to get in 2024. But it doesn't mean he's got nothing to offer. And to be honest, this match got announced, and like I say, despite how down we've been in other periods on AEW booking leading into pay-per-views, the pay-per-views you always walk out going, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the build didn't work, but at least the pay-per-view worked.
This has sealed the show potential.
This show I wasn't that certain about. Once he added this match, it's just an extra little bit of, you know, guaranteed at least good in-ring match.
Yeah, and we'll wait till 10 more at it.
Well, yeah, there is that. But I do think Takeshita will bring Ricochet maybe up a level compared to at least what we've seen of Ricochet in AEW so far. Takeshita's one where I do feel like because Kyle Fletcher's gotten that big push for the Ospreay feud, Takeshita, despite winning the belt from Ospreay, has slid into the background a little bit. So I'm glad, again, they've included him on this pay-per-view. I think this was a match worth adding, and I would love to see what Takeshita on AEW TV.
He needs to get away from Don, because what Don is doing with Kyle feels more important to him.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be the second guy, third guy in your stable.
And that keeps happening, unfortunately. Yeah. But Takeshita's undeniable. No matter what they do, he stays over and he delivers great matches. So I think this will be awesome. I think Takeshita retains. I can't see them putting the belt on Ricochet.
I think Takeshita retains. I think it's going to be very good, though. I really do. And I have so much faith in Takeshita, like you. No matter how many bad decisions they make with him, people love him for a very good reason.
Absolutely.
All right, our main event, Jon Moxley versus Orange Cassidy. It's for the AEW World Championship. Like, I don't know what to say, guys. I don't think anyone thinks that Orange Cassidy is winning this. I don't think they've done a good job of making us, of convincing us Orange Cassidy could win this. To me, this feels like a very weak main event. A very, very weak main event, which is part of something that is meant to be a huge storyline that affects everyone. This has not done it for me, this build. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Storyline stinks. It's awful. Moxley himself, it's one of those weird things where his performances have been great.
Yeah.
His promos have been great. The packaging has been great, but the substance of it, you know, right back to the gang of geeks hanging outside the arena with nunchucks and whatever. Like, it's weird because on the one hand, I'm glad they moved on from the entire roster, and it wasn't really the entire roster, versus the Death Riders / BCC. We've moved into just they're a gang of heels who are feuding with Orange Cassidy. That's pretty much it. They might beat up a jobber every now and then, but it's not really any different than any other heel act in AEW now.
It's good and bad because it feels like the creative have made the decision to water them down. Like the first couple of weeks, they were like, this is going to be, you know, everyone is going to be affected by this. And then it played out for a few weeks and we're like, oh, maybe like, we're like.
And that's why you can't do these stories if you can't do them properly, especially on the back of, they just did this with the Elite. We were just fighting over the sanctity of AEW and Team AEW versus the evil heels type of thing. So I was pessimistic from the start, not like me. So I didn't necessarily really expect much out of it. And Orange Cassidy is a great upper mid-card babyface in AEW, one of the best of all time, flagship AEW star. You can put him in roles like this, I think, every now and then. But it feels like they're going for the big, okay, this is his big moment now.
Yeah.
This is his big, you know, challenging the world title moment. But they had those chances in the past with them, and, you know, the Jericho feud, and there's been other moments where...
His international championship.
Yes, the international title stuff. There's been other moments where it's going, oh, they could make Orange Cassidy serious now, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And now it's just too late. There's nothing wrong with that. He's absolutely fine at the role he is in AEW. But I think it was asking much for him to carry this pay-per-view.
I think they've also foreshadowed that Darby is Moxley's next challenger too hard.
Yeah.
Like,
but Darby, it's weird.
I don't buy Darby.
They haven't named Darby, but Darby might win, which is the funny thing. they might have him win.
There's been so many spoiler-type things that, oh, Darby Allin is getting the title, you know, sometime within the next year, whatever. He might be the one that defeats Mox. I wouldn't buy it if Darby did it either. Like,
it wouldn't be earned, but I would believe they'd pull that trigger. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think they see that in Derby and they see him as a world title. So, yeah, that feels like a bigger match out of the two anyway. So that's the other thing going against this. And
like, why did Derby come back before this match? Because you just made Orange look like the guy before Derby rather than like someone that could actually win it.
But again, with Derby, I think there might be a bit of drama there with this. There's not. Jon Moxley goes over. And, this might be one of the... or if not like one of the worst AEW pay-per-view numbers. That's my prediction on this. I think a lot of your pay-per-view relies on your main event, and this isn't a strong enough main event to carry the show.
Do you think this match is consequential in any way? Like, because we've seen Orange Cassidy, he wears black now. Do you think this changes? Like, I feel like we all maybe thought he'd really change after he did the Jericho feud, and he kind of didn't other than the fact that he spoke then. Could this be like a complete change in him? Because he, you know, or do you think... like next pay-per-view Orange Cassidy will be in like a mid-card match and we'll be fine.
Absolutely, it'll be with the conglomeration. Like they keep trying this and going, okay, now this is the serious Orange Cassidy. Yeah. But what works with Orange Cassidy doesn't work with doing that. Like, and they always learn that lesson the hard way. So he'll be back. It'll be mid-card matches with Rocky Romero and the lads next one. It will. Like, it just will.
Hey, at least it's not Rocky Romero challenging John Moxley.
That's true. That's true. And again, that's negative. I love Orange Cassidy. I actually do think the match will be good.
Yeah, I do.
They've got form, these two. So, but yeah, not in any kind of doubt, I would say, the finish of it.
Do you see the pay-per-view finishing on any kind of a wild note? Like, we've seen the death of Bryan Danielson. We've seen, you know, like, with what Moxley's doing, like, what's the next?
I thought you were about to ask, do I see the pay-per-view finishing? Because we're going to be in the stadium. We can actually see the Prudential behind us through that window there. We're going to be in there a long night, aren't we? You especially, if you do go to the scrum. Don't know. That's the answer. I don't really know. I can't think what it could be. If
is Kenny coming back or?
No, he's come back to New Japan. That's the important thing. No, well, what would you do? Because it'd have to be. This will have to go on last, Moxley and Cassidy. And what could you do? Unless it's Brian coming back, which I don't think that's happening.
Oh, that would be terrible. Too soon.
Yeah. Oh, but Omega could come back. I just don't see it being here. I mean, I suppose they've done the teasing enough with the Elite and such, but that feels soon too. So, don't really think so. Edge Samoa Joe, Andy says in the chat.
Joe could come back.
Didn't WWE just trademark Edge? I'm not breaking news. I know we're on Fightful. I know that's not.
Maria asks, what about Christian? What about Christian and his Money in the Bank briefcase?
Fuck off to SmackDown with it, is what I'm going to do. And fail cashing it in like Tiffy. Do that. I hate that gimmick. Sucks.
Yeah.
Love Christian.
Like Fernando says, Christian having the contract right now makes no sense. It absolutely feels like he wasn't meant to have it while this storyline was going on because it feels like they want to.
They probably will tease that, but that's not to answer your question, that's not a big ending, is it?
No.
Heel Christian.
Tony hinted at Omega. I mean, I feel like they have to do something with Omega because wherever you stand on the Omega and New Japan thing, it is odd. To for him to go there first. So I think he does need to make his presence felt in AEW. But then Omega coming back to me feels like the end of this Moxley storyline because he does feel like the hero or the savior. Yeah. And yeah, so I could see I'll pop huge for Omega. Like Omega's my guy. Like I want him back so much. I missed him, especially with everything that's been going
on. Which is funny. 2 years ago, Full Gear, it was the Elite coming back together. That's all the Punk stuff. So might get to be part of that pop again.
Well, Benno, we've done it. The 10 announced matches for Full Gear.
Mm-hmm. We'll have a good time.
Do you feel any more excited?
No. But we'll have a good time.
We'll have a good time.
Shouldn't be ungrateful and get to go to an AEW pay-per-view. And like the list of matches we just went through, there's going to be good matches there.
Yeah.
I just hope this is another one of those booking cycles where they come out of it and go, that's out the way now. Let's start fresh. Let's build some different programs. Let's do better with the programs we've got. And let's hope we get something more like that period. All in, all out, thought was really good this year. That was kind of it as far as bright spots across the year.
I want to get back to that. The pay-per-views are usually really good because there's no problem with the quality of in-ring work. It's the it's the creative. It's the having week to week, having to watch vehicles, car shit.
Good wrestlers are always going to have good matches. You know, it's
funny,
the rest of it.
Funny shit. Mm. You know, it's the week to week. But yeah, I do think it's going to be a good show. I predict that Jay White and Hangman will have the match of the night. Mm. Certainly they will.
Osprey Fletcher for me.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay. Well, Jay, hang on for me.
Bit rest till I die.
I know that's not true.
Nope.
All right, Benno, tell everyone where they can find you and especially tell them about your new, already very popular podcast.
Yeah. Currently number 6 on the iTunes chart is myself and some people watching this might be aware of Michael Hamflet from What Culture. Me and him are doing a trip down memory lane. It's called Benno and Hamflet In Your House, available where all podcasts are sold. I'm reviewing all of the 1995 into 1996 into a bit of 1997 In Your House pay-per-views. Network going down in January. Great timing, by the way, to start a retro podcast. Let's hope they're all still up in January. But yeah, we're officially launching on the 1st of December. Our preview episode is up now. So if you've got any nostalgia for the new generation period, Bret Hart, Hakushi, Shawn Michaels,
or if you Diesel, want to get all that into
stuff.
It.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you've never seen it before, the stuff there, to be honest, Hamflet, is way more, like, he thinks it's good now. I thought it was good when I was 10. And I'm worried about whether I'm still going to think it's good or not. And that's the beauty of the podcast. We're going to find out together. So, yeah, we're going to have some people younger than Earth and me and a handful of Earth watching and listening along.
They might not even know what In Your House is.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, they were the monthly shows that would go in between the names that you remember. SummerSlam and
So
Shimmering.
We're starting without any, we're not on any kind of network. So we're independent. So, or everyone's support does help. So yeah, Benno and Amplet, In Your House, search that word podcast or sold if you want to hear more moaning about AEW booking and occasional WWE booking. Actually, we've been doing a lot more of that recently. You can find my main podcast, which is Grapple, G-R-A-P-P-L, Grapple Spotlight. Again, everywhere, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, everywhere else. And sometimes you're even on it.
Yes, true. Yes, go subscribe to Grapple and go support Benno and Amplet In Your House. It's so good. I've heard sneak previews already, and it's really awesome.
And if you're in New Jersey, go to Halston's, get yourself a burger and chips. The milkshakes look good as well. Just don't get shot.
Yes, so support the Sopranos Diner. And with me, you can go subscribe to my YouTube, Stephanie Chase Wrestling. I did not review Dynamite. So basically, guys, I have moved out of Toronto. And I spent the last over a week sorting all that out. So I wasn't able, I think I've not reviewed the last two Dynamites maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm going to Dynamite on Wednesday in Chicago, and I will definitely review that Dynamite the next day, which will be Thanksgiving. I'll review it from my hotel room in Chicago. So watch out for that. And I'll talk about my experience at Full Gear too, but it's just all been a bit hectic because didn't have to leave Toronto, but that my time in Toronto had come to an end for now. So I'm going to Chicago on Sunday. I'll be there for Dynamite. It's like my fourth Thanksgiving Dynamite in a row. Crazy stat. But yeah, so
more dedicated than Tony Khan.
Subscribe to my channel, and I promise you'll hear all about that, and I won't hold back from the live show experience. And then also go subscribe to my Substack, Stephanie Chase Wrestling. My latest article is about the AEW women, still a problem. Booking of the women, still a problem. It's always going to be a problem. So yeah, go do that. And you can find me on X at Stephanie M. Chase. You can find me on Blue Sky at Stephanie M. Chase as well. I'm posting there. Threads, same name, Stephanie M. Chase, Instagram, all of it. And Benno, you're on Blue Sky too?
I am, at Benson Richard E. On all of the socials. Get me there. Blue Sky, Twitter, even Threads. I'm posting on there in a while. Maybe I will again soon.
And thank you so much for joining me, guys. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed the different, like, being in person setup. But I just thought, while we're here, right in New Jersey, who else am I going to do it with, you know? But thank you guys so much. Next time I'll see you in Fightful will be next week when I will be previewing WWE Survivor Series. So get ready for that. Until then, bye.
Thank you.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.